And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded show for you here today. Lots to get to with the Nashville Predators coming up. Matt Duchene, Predators centerman, will join us at 8:45 for his weekly visit. Adam Vingan at 9:30. Also, lots of Titans and NFL news to get to as well. Trent Dilfer, former NFL quarterback and current head coach with Lipscomb Academy, will join us at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Fellas, what's going on? Joe Rexrode, how are we doing?
Doing just fine. I don't have any pickup lines today. I was going to start the show with a pickup line, but I think I used them all.
I think you used them all yesterday.
From what website?
Scary Mama.
ScaryMommy.com.
Yeah.
Is it Scary Mama? Scary Mommy.
It's Mommy.
Mommy. Okay.
Scary Mommy. I don't know what the heck that website is. I just Googled.
You're not endorsing
funny pickup
that website.
Lines. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it may be something you don't want to go to.
Nothing but they said can be held against you.
Nice pickup lines. And now I'm going to Google scarymommy.com just to see what the heck it is.
Well, it could be.
Maybe I should have done that before, spending all day on it yesterday.
Ryan Porth, you look great again today. Way to go.
I mean, this is a record.
Thank
like
you.
Four or five straight shows where my looks are being.
I think it's been more than that, but yeah.
Well, you know,
I think it's been eight.
At this point, you just kind of lose count.
Well, I'm glad that we make you feel good to start every single morning here on the show. You know who doesn't feel good right now? The Nashville Predators. Another tough one last night for the Preds against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They fall 6-1 in a game where you grab the first goal. Rocco Grimaldi comes out. He scores, you're feeling okay about yourself, and then you get into some penalty trouble. The Lightning take a 3-1 lead in the first period, and it was really all downhill from there. Lightning come out with a 6-1 win. They outscore the Predators 10-2 in this two-game stretch here in Nashville. And the Predators have lost five of their past six.
So right behind you on the screen, we've got some highlights of the Pistons beating the Nets. Maybe the Nets feel worse today.
Maybe so.
Than the Preds because they lost to the Pistons. Yeah, rough. I mean, look, we know how good Tampa Bay is and how much better they are than the Preds. So at this point, this is I think we've said it now about the last few series, but Detroit series coming up, this is to me it's kind of like, okay, either you're descending into something where we're going to be talking about is who were you moving in this rebuild, or you're going to hang in there. I mean, the guys had the players-only meeting the night before. One thing I did notice, especially early in the game, I saw guys throwing themselves all over the ice. Roman Josi doing that. Effort.
Forsberg.
Yeah, effort, but just completely overmatched.
Well, that strategy really didn't work in the first period because they ended up taking a couple penalties because of that.
They did.
Yeah, that's the problem. Sometimes you've got this, like, you know, it can't be as simple as just throw it all out there because sometimes you get overzealous and you get yourself in trouble. And we know this team does not want to be in the box. Certainly, especially against that team. I mean, watching, in the third period, the two goals in a row is like you knew they were scoring.
Yeah.
You knew they were scoring. It's too good, and you're too bad on the PK, and that's what happened.
That's what happened, and I'll be honest. I looked at the lineup that they were trotting out there last night, and the first thought I had when I saw it was, okay, you've been struggling to score goals. Where's the offense going to come? I mean, you got Sissons on the top line with Forsberg and Arvidsson. You moved Duchene over in the wing to start the game. Luke Cunning comes back in. Michael McCarron in the lineup. Sean Malone in the lineup. Matt Olivier, I think, has played well. But, I mean, you start adding up all these guys, and I think there comes a point where you've got too much grit in the lineup, especially going up against a team like Tampa Bay. And, look, like you said, it was obvious that they were trying to be physical in this game, but you got to find a way to score. I mean, I keep saying this every day. I feel like I've already, you know, hit my quota on asking John Hines about it. I asked him again about it last night, but – if you're that coaching staff or this team right now and you're not concerned with the offense, I don't know what else to tell you at this point. They cannot score. They're 27th in the league in goals per game. They cannot score, and that is a huge problem.
So, Tolvanen being out is a surprise. And, gosh, we were joking about my pick to click of Tolvanen and him, and then he's out of the lineup. Do you think that this lineup was some kind of a – you know, like the players have the players only meeting, so they're going to respond with, you know, trying to block every shot. Was this a coach response of, you know what, I'm putting out guys who just want to spill it, and almost maybe you would never say this out loud if John Hines, but you just know you're playing Tampa Bay and you can go, you're not going to beat them anyway. I don't know.
I mean, to me, you've got to at least try to score goals. And look, I realize Sean Malone had the assist on Grimaldi's goal, but if you're telling me Sean Malone out there gives you a better chance to win than Ellie Tolvanen and some of these other guys, like, I mean, Nick Cousins, a healthy scratch, Eric Halla, a healthy scratch. If you're telling me Sean Malone gives you a better chance to win than those guys, I got news for you. He doesn't.
Or Michael McCarron.
Yeah. And it was, to me, it was a perplexing decision. And quite frankly, John Hines' response in the postgame to why Ellie Tolvanen wasn't playing was maybe the most perplexing thing I've heard him say in his tenure here with the Predators. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say about Ellie Tolvanen not playing last night for the Nashville Predators.
Hi, John. This is another lineup question. Ellie Tolvanen seemed like he played a pretty decent game yesterday. Was sitting him tonight more of like a rotational thing in terms of getting other guys ice time and like Sean Malone, or was it something about his game that you didn't particularly care for last night?
No, it's a good question. I think with Tolvi, I mean, he's a young player coming in. He's played, you know, a few games in a row. We're coming into a back-to-back. I think there was he's doing some good things in his game, but it's also trying to manage a young player and, you know, allow him to be able to play. Some fatigue sets in, or it's a grind of a schedule, particularly this season with, you know, back-to-backs against Florida, a day off, back-to-back against Tampa. He played the game in Tampa. So, you know, it's really about trying to manage him and making sure his game stays up to standard, and he's going to be a guy that, you know, can continue to grow and get better.
So I heard that from John Hines in the press conference last night. I mean, Ellie Tolvanen's 21 years old. It's not like he played 22 minutes the night before. He's played back-to-backs before. I mean, they do that a lot in the American Hockey League, where he's playing more minutes. I mean, I don't buy that this is managing Ellie Tolvanen. If it is, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I thought, look, he didn't play great the other night. Nobody did. I thought he at least had some chances, especially on the power play. And like I said, this team cannot score goals. So taking players out of the lineup that may be able to score goals right now doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. I thought that was just a mind-boggling decision last night.
Yeah, I thought, honestly, Sean Malone, like, I don't know. Like, so last night, I thought you had some really good Spaceballs tweets.
Thank you. But I was trying to make it through the entire game with Spaceballs tweets.
That was good.
I made it into the third period.
I thought the tweet of the night, though, was Paul Skrbina saying he's going to call him Sam Malone, which is a Cheers reference. And then he had a Post Malone Post Malone gif. I don't know. I mean, unless Tolvanen is banged up, sometimes these guys have injuries sometimes. If there's not something specific that he has going on, then I don't understand it either. Back-to-backs are run of the mill for these guys.
Yeah, especially this year. I mean, you're going to run into a few of them. So I just thought that decision was strange. We'll see what happens on Thursday and whether or not, you know, Cousins and Hall are back in the lineup. But right now this team is just offensively. And look, I realize it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this is an extreme example. The Lightning are very good. They very well could go on to win another Stanley Cup this year. I mean, they're 9-1-1. They are playing at a really high level right now. But go watch the Lightning move the puck last night, and then look on the other side and watch the Nashville Predators move the puck. And tell me it even looks like the same league.
Particularly on the power play.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
The puck movement that they have on the power play, they run a clinic out there.
And again, I realize it's the Lightning. Not every team in the league is the Lightning. I understand that, but it doesn't even look like the same game. With the Lightning out there moving the puck.
At the same time, though, when the Preds have everybody healthy and with the power play unit that they started the season with, the Predators have a power play unit or started the season with Johansson, Duchesne, Arvidsson, Forsberg, and Josi on the same unit.
Yeah.
Like, that unit should be productive and has the capability to move the puck around the offensive zone to the degree or close to it to what Tampa Bay does. And Tampa Bay just completely dominates your penalty kill because they are moving the puck around to the point where they're turning you around like a pretzel, whereas the Preds power play with very talented players just seems stagnant and funnels to the same individuals without much movement.
Well, in Forsberg last night, I mean, that's the first thing he brought up in the postgame press conference was the execution level by Tampa Bay and the lack of execution by the Predators. Here's what Predators forward Philip Forsberg had to say last night.
Philip, just wondering your thoughts on what sticks out to you about this one tonight. I know the guys had said they were eager to get back at it and have another chance at Tampa. So how do you see this one tonight, and what do you think of the effort?
I think their execution is way higher than ours. I mean, I'm sure all the stats are going to point to an even game, but they score 3-4, I don't know how many on the power play, and executing there, we don't score on the power play. And yeah, I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, the plays they're making, like I said, they're playing with a higher execution. They're obviously, a couple of those goals are great plays. And I mean, Juice is making a lot of good saves for us too when they're playing that way. So I think that's the biggest part. I think we're there. The work is there, but we're not executing.
So you hear Philip Forsberg talk about the execution level there, and it's apparent that they're having a lot of trouble executing in the offensive zone and have been for the past few games.
So what about Saros last night?
It wasn't good. I mean, look, there are some. I mean, you had a couple slam dunks where you got people going on the back door and there's nothing you can do about it. But again, if he's going in there and every time he's giving up 4, 5, 6 goals, at some point you need your goaltender to make a save as well, and he's not doing it.
So Vingan says Preds have got to ride with him and figure out if he can be at least like the bridge to Askarov. McCabe is like, psh, no, you got to go with Pekka. Pekka's better. You got to go with your better goalie right now. What say you?
Well, it depends on if you're the Predators, how you view the season. If you still think you're in it and you want to make the playoffs, I don't know how you don't go to Pekka Rinne right now. I mean, he's clearly the better goalie. It's not close. He's clearly the better goaltender at the moment. If you get to a point in this season where you're not feeling great about the playoffs, well, then, yeah, I'd probably go with Saros and try to figure out what you have there. But quite frankly, I'm starting to realize what they have in UC Saros, and it's not a franchise goaltender. It's not.
And how far away are they from? I mean, it's early.
It's early. I mean, look, it's 13 games in.
It's early-ish.
But it is also about 25% of the way through the season, too. I mean, it's not that early. I know people say they're 5-8, you played 13 games, and it's early. It's really not. It's not that early anymore. So good news is you got Detroit coming in. That should help. If you don't win both of these games against Detroit, we're going to have some difficult conversations coming up. I mean, that's just where this team is. And I question, and John Hines was asked about this last night, you know, we've talked a lot about mental toughness and mental fortitude, and I think they've gotten better in those areas. But this is the type of situation where that can deteriorate in a hurry, and I'm interested to see if they can keep that part of it together.
As early as it is, it feels like Hines has done a ton of switching and mixing and matching.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't match up with – like a team, okay, they're still trying to, maybe it's just trying to figure things out, but it feels like we're already to the point of punitive sit downs. And I don't know. I just feel like he's really throwing stuff all over the place when, like you said, that first power play unit to start the season. I mean, you have to go with that, right?
And now you have Michael McCarron on your first power play unit.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. What? Why?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. They've got a whole lot of problems right now. I mean, honestly, at times, it's been rough to watch what we've seen out there on the ice. And the question now is, how is it going to get better? Is it going to get better this season? When we come back, we'll continue to discuss the current state of the Nashville Predators. What has been the root cause to the slow start for this team? 5-8-0 on the season. We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the current state of the Nashville Predators. They fall 6-1 last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they lost their last two games against the Lightning by a combined score of 10-2. So Tampa Bay playing very well offensively. The Predators having a tough time getting anything going offensively in the last couple of games. And, you know, even going back to really all year, but specifically the last three games offensively, I mean, it just hasn't been great. They were better 5-on-5 last night than they were in Monday night's game, I thought. But, I mean, just the lack of finish on this team right now is a huge problem. It's been a huge problem all season long. Right now, the Predators 27th in the NHL with 2.31 goals per game. So, I mean, think about what that number would look like without the 6-goal performance in Florida and the 5-goal performance against Columbus to begin the season. Outside of a couple of games, they've been incredibly pedestrian offensively.
So, why? Does that match up with what they have on paper?
It's not this bad on paper, I don't think. But it's. I mean, look, we talked about it heading into the season. The biggest concern that we had about this group was, all right, where are the goals going to come from?
I mean, we knew they had to come from the particular group.
Yeah, and we talked about the Jofa line with Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg, and how if those guys can't get rolling together, I mean, this could be a tough go of things offensively. And to his credit, Philip Forsberg, I think, has played very well to begin this season. Arvidsson, I think, has played okay, but the goals are not coming with enough regularity from him. And we know about Ryan Johansson. Right now, week to week, 0 goals on the season, 4 assists. It's not been good from Ryan Johansson from a production standpoint when he's been on the ice. So, I mean, you factor those in with this team, the one thing the Predators could not afford to have happen was a slow start offensively from these guys. And even though, Matt Duchene, I thought, was playing really well, the production wasn't there to begin the season. So you knew you couldn't have that happen if you were the Predators, and it has. And now you look around the rest of the lineup, where are the goals going to come from? And it just hasn't been there with any sort of consistency with really anybody outside of Philip Forsberg. And even he, the last couple of games, has tailed off a little bit.
So is there anything good going on with this team? I mean, the funny thing is, you know, I would say you're talking about what I do think is the biggest thing, which is just where is this team finding offense? We're coming off a 2-game set in which it gave up 10 goals.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that's where we had the discussion a couple weeks ago about, you know, you plug one hole in the boat and then something else springs a leak. And it just feels like this team, you know, just doesn't have a lot of confidence in any area.
Well, I mean, it also doesn't help when you're killing off 62.8% of your penalties. I mean, you're giving up power play goals every night. That's not an exaggeration. You're giving up power play goals every night.
Tampa Bay was 3-for-5. They might as well have been 4-for-5.
Yeah.
Because their first goal of the night came, you know, just a few seconds after the initial power play expired.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a huge problem. The penalty kill and, you know, the one game against Dallas looked like this was the beginning of a free fall for this team on that part of things. And the penalty kill hasn't gotten a ton better since then. But, I mean, you're talking about pretty significantly in last in the NHL in that department. They're in 31st, 62.8%. The next worst team is the Devils at 67.7%. So until the penalty kill is really not giving him a chance out there with how bad it's been. I mean, it's been brutal to watch on the penalty kill side of things. And Tampa Bay, with the puck movement they have last night, I mean, they had a couple that were slam dunk opportunities, especially the two late in the game to make it 5-1 and 6-1. I mean, you got a tip in front of the net, and the other one is just wide open. Stamkos is there wide open. There's nothing you can do about that.
So what's the number right now? They're killing off what percentage?
62.8%.
So the all-time, see if you can get close on here, the all-time worst penalty kill in NHL history.
Oh, I will say 67%.
You're very, very good. You're right there. The 2009-10 Maple Leafs.
Okay.
68.32%. Okay. So, they got a chance. We have a chance.
This is the third down defense.
This is the third down defense, man. We have a chance in this town to have record breakers. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, no. I apologize. Yeah, that's right. No, it looks like there actually is one worse. Sorry, the 79-80 Kings. Now, wait a minute. Was Pete there then?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and check.
Maybe this is Pete's fault. Pete Weber. 79-80 Kings, 67-7 that they killed off. This is weird how they have this listed. They have the you were right there. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
And this is just like with the NFL, you know, they haven't kept this stat officially forever. This 63-64 was the first year. Just like with the NFL, third down D was officially a stat like 91.
Right.
But yes, amazing. We can go. This is the third down defense.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Garland texts in, says they keep changing the lower guys out, but they are scoring, but none of the top scoring players remain. John Hines is not making great decisions to match up with teams. They're 5-8 because you've played 6 games of 13 against both Stanley Cup winner and finalist. They are much better.
Okay. I mean, there's still a positive spin to
I don't know if Garland is saying that the Predators are much better or that the Stanley Cup finalist teams are much better.
Yeah. I took it as he's saying they're much better than this. They have played very good teams. Johansson's out. I mean, you can spin it if you want.
I think he's saying that the Stars and Lightning are much better.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, it wasn't as much of a spin as I thought. I was like, that's some special sunshine right there. See, the difference when we talk about the third down defense of the Titans and then this team's penalty kill is the Titans won and they were fun to watch because the Titans had offense.
Right.
Offense. The Preds need some offense.
They do. They do need some offense. And, look, I mean, you can tell. I mean, it's every night on my Twitter feed. I'm sure, you know, Adam Vingan will join us later in the show. He gets it as well. I mean, the fans are frustrated, and they've been really – honestly, they've been frustrated since before the season even began. But they're really frustrated right now with this team and with what's going on and what's taking place out there on the ice. And this is how fans are on social media. I get it. I mean, John Hines is taking a lot of heat right now. David Poyle's taking a lot of heat right now. A lot of people are taking a lot of heat on the fan base right now. I look at John Hines – to me, this is a player thing right now. I mean, I look at that lineup last night. The first thing I thought was, number one, why are you making decisions to take some goal scorers or at least potential goal scorers out of the lineup? And I get it. It's not like Eric Halla has been lighting the world on fire or Nick Cousins is out there scoring goals left and right or Elli Tolvanen has had much of an impact this year. I mean, he had one goal. So I get it. It's not like statistically you're taking a ton of offense off the ice last night, but at least you feel good about maybe some potential there and more potential than the guys you put on the ice. But I looked at that roster last night, and the first thought I had was, my goodness, where are the goals going to come from with this group that's out there tonight? And as we saw, one goal. They did get one taken away, offside by about half an inch.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate offside. It was a very nice goal by Colton Sissons.
Yeah, very nice.
A little bit like that playoff game.
Yeah, and they had that new camera angle, like right down the line. It was a pretty good shot. It was offside, but I thought they scored. It's 3-2. Yeah. I mean, at that point, maybe it's a game. And then I saw Tampa Bay challenge it, and I feel good when John Cooper challenges things. I'm like, oh, that's probably not good. It's probably not good news. And there it was, immediately taken off the board. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Ryan from Nashville, who wants to weigh in on the Preds. Ryan, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I said in the beginning, and I'm saying this now, it's Hines and his system is screwing up with the Preds' chemistry. If you think about it, last year, this team was five guys up the ice all the time. Yosi was carrying the puck. Ellis carried the puck. All these guys are up the ice, carrying the puck, and producing. This year, defense hasn't been nothing because every time you watch it, one shift, they carry the puck up the ice, and next thing you know, they're getting something set on the bench, and they're sitting back again. He does not like his defense running into the ozone. And the problem is this team is made to run and gun. This team is not made to play a conservative hockey game. You look at the players of Yossi, Ellis, and Fabro on the back end. They're offensive defensemen. Their job is to not only play defense, but to score goals. And it shows that they're not doing it because they have to bounce the puck off the boards to the forward. They can't do what they normally did last season.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it. And Joe, we talked about that a little bit yesterday here on the show where it's amazing to look at the Predators who, I mean, they've had so much offense from their defense for so long. They don't have a single goal from a defenseman 5-on-5. I mean, Josi scored 3-on-3, and on the power play, Fabro's got one on the power play, Ellis has got one on the power play. They don't have a single goal from a defenseman 5-on-5.
So we're on to the Hines system now. And we've talked a lot about it. That aspect of it, the defenseman not being as involved. Is it conservative? Is it too conservative overall? Because that's two different things.
I don't know that it's conservative. I think it's just they really want to get the puck in the hands of their forwards. But at some point, I mean, if the forwards aren't getting the job done, I mean, I'm turning around looking at Roman Josi and be like, all right, dude, just go do your thing. We'll see if we can score that way. Because right now, whatever you're trying out there is not working. And some of this, I mean, you're paying forwards a lot of money to go out there and score. They've got to find a way to do it. But right now, there's not been much evidence that they're going to do that. So if that continues to be the case, you've got to adjust if you're John Hines and just say, all right, and I know that maybe I don't want to activate the defensemen as much as they were under Peter Laviolette here, but you got to have offense from somewhere. And I fully believe that that is not the way you win in today's NHL with any sort of consistency. But maybe you get more offense than you're getting right now. I don't know. I mean, they're in a hard place right now offensively.
All right, say that again. What is you don't win in the NHL?
You're not. I don't believe you're going to win in the NHL when the defensemen are the one driving the offense. I just you can't have that's too much responsibility. Like if Roman Josi is your primary attacker offensively, as good as he is, you're not winning.
Right, I mean, but there was a good balance when right. they had. I mean, when they won the President's Trophy,
sure,
right?
Sure, but nice... they don't have that. That balance does not exist right now with this group.
Sure,
it just doesn't.
What about the idea of, you know, Hines valuing quality chances over just peppering the net like Laviolette? Is that you think that's fair?
Well, that would be fine if you're getting enough quality chances.
No, I know. I'm not saying it's working.
Right.
But do you think that's part of the problem?
Maybe. But, I mean, look, they're shooting the puck more than people think. Now, they're having trouble hitting the net when they shoot the puck. But they're shooting the puck more than people think. But they're getting a lot blocked. And they're getting a whole lot that missed the net. And that's on the player. Like Colton Sissons had a one-timer last night from the doorstep. He's 6 feet away. He missed the net. Like, that's happening way too often this year, and that's a huge problem. Let's quickly go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Tyler from Nashville who wants to weigh in. Tyler, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Honestly, I don't know exactly where to begin because there's so much to say, but I was a season ticket holder for a couple of years. I gave those season tickets up last year.
Hey, Tyler, we're having trouble connecting with you here on the phone. We'll call back a little bit later, and we'll see if we can get a better connection with you instead. Here's what we're going to do. We'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break with the Nashville Predators. Also get into the Vols as well coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, a startled Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your reaction to the Nashville Predators, their loss last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning, 6-1 to the defending Stanley Cup champions. A rough start to the season for the Predators, 5-8-0 on the season so far. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and reconnect with Tyler from Nashville. Tyler, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You know, there's so many things to say. It's hard to know where to begin, but I guess I'll just say that I was a season ticket holder for a couple of years. I gave those up last year for a variety of reasons, I'm sure y'all can imagine, but not the least of which was just the fact that we've been struggling. And y'all said something earlier. I believe you said, this seems to be a player issue more than anything else, and I don't know, I see some truth in that, but honestly, when I gave my tickets up, I wrote the organization and said, you know, from the bottom of my heart that I really think this goes straight to the top. As much as I like David Poile as a person, I think that he's made some bad decisions, and I was really happy when we had Peter Laviolette. I think that it was a player issue then, and there were some other ways that things could have been handled. And it's just been a downward spiral ever since then. And that's the bottom line of how I feel, just sort of in short.
I got a lot more I could say about it, but that's just kind of where I'm coming from.
Hey, thanks, Tyler. We appreciate the call. I mean, look, I mean, we talked about it the other day here on the show. I mean, it's not been a good run lately for David Poile and the moves that he's made, the free agent decisions that he's made, the trades that he's made. And when I'm talking about players, I mean, the architect of the players right now on the ice is David Poile. Now, I have heard there was some chatter last night about Peter Laviolette and did they make the right decision to move on from him. I'll say this. I think if you look at the history of Peter Laviolette in his career, the dude has a shelf life in every stop that he's made. It's pretty successful early on. And I think the trend and the track record is long enough now where it's fair to say that he kind of wears out his welcome after a while. And based on some of the conversations I've had since he's left, I've not run across one person that was sad to see him go in that organization. I'll put it that way. So I hear what Tyler's saying there. Peter Laviolette, I think, is a very good coach. I especially think he's a very good coach early on, and that's, you know, supported by the fact he seems to have pretty immediate success everywhere that he goes. I also think he has a shelf life.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think in general in pro sports, I mean, you have your here and there coach who's there someplace for 10, 20 years or whatever, but I think voices wear thin in general, and I think his did. I mean, I do like how he always comes up with some, you know, some wolf mask or something like that. What's he got going this year? He's got like
He's got the Cobra Kai stuff.
Yeah, Cobra Kai this year. Hey, I like it. You know, he does some fun stuff. But, I mean, I liked Peter. But, yeah, I can see him wearing on people after a while, and I think that happened. I also say that when Poile fired him last year, Poile was like, I didn't want to fire him.
Right.
You know, and it's one of those things where that's ultimately the easiest move is to move on. But I think Tyler's point about Poile is absolutely fair. Obviously, he's made several bad choices. He had a really bad run starting with that tourist trade that has largely gotten us here.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in on the Preds. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Rope.
Good morning, guys. I'm a day one season ticket holder. I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'll always support the Predators. Having said that, I think that they need to start a rebuild. And my question to you guys is, what do you think that would be a practical approach to that? And also, before I hear your answer, I was disturbed by some of the players' comments after the game last night. It's obvious that they are very intimidated by Tampa Bay, and that the team doesn't seem to have a lot of collective confidence in itself. So I'd like to know what you guys think the approach ought to be in terms of bringing it back. I think it's going to take 4 or 5 years, but I wish that they'd go ahead and start that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. I mean, I'll be honest, heading into this season, rebuild was not a part of my thinking. I mean, I think some people thought they should do that this past offseason. And I was, you know, you look at the roster. I mean, Forsberg's in the prime of his career. Yossi's in the prime of his career. Ellis, I mean, you can go up and down the list. I'm thinking to myself, you just got a defenseman that won a Norris Trophy. This is not the time for a rebuild. And maybe it's still not, but I'll say this. I'm certainly a lot more open to that right now than I was to begin this season because, I mean, this team just looks lost out there right now. They look like, and I think the confidence point that Bob brought up there, I think that's a big part of it. This team doesn't look like it has any confidence. I think he heard that in Dante Fabro's answer on Monday night when he was talking about, you know, I asked him about what to do out there offensively, and the first thing he said was you got to trust each other. And to me, what that means is they don't have a whole lot of confidence that they're going to be where they're supposed to be. They're going to do what they need to do offensively. I mean, I think confidence is a part of it, and it's hard to get that back without the results. I mean, right now the results are just not happening for the Predators, especially on the offensive side of things. So, look, I mean, the rebuild part of this, if you're able to dig your way out against Detroit and start to get back in the race and hang around, then that conversation is going to be held off. If this continues, though, that's absolutely going to be a conversation that gets brought up. It's a conversation that should be brought up. And I think it's something you seriously got to take a look at if you're the Predators.
Well, I think Bob made good points. One thing I'd say on the confidence, it's hard to have confidence if you're not good. And I think it's really hard to have confidence when you're playing a team that you know is just flat out better than you, right? I mean, and how often over the last few years have you felt that way? We've thought the Preds were inconsistent and they went through bad stretches and there was a lot of frustration. But it's been a while, to me at least, where I've looked out on the ice and said, they're just flat, not close to that team they're playing.
Yeah.
Now, again, that's Tampa Bay. That's the champ. So it's a high level. It's also a team you're going to play a lot more this year, unfortunately, if you're the Preds. As far as the rebuild, you know, it's like you just brought up a point. Yeah, so let's say they beat Detroit twice and they get back going a little bit and they handle – the games, you know, the teams that they can, and they hang in there. Is it, do you just hold it off then? You just, you're fine if you're hanging on by a thread to try to get in to the fourth spot? I mean, I think you can still make the case that, okay, but what, I think you can still make the case to blow it up anyway.
Right.
Even if you do that.
But you're not going to do it in the middle of the year, is what I'm talking about. Like, if they're in the race, they're not going to blow it up in the middle of the year. Now, the off season. Absolutely. I mean, I think you're going to have that conversation right now in the offseason regardless. But if they're hanging around in the middle, like they're not going to be 6 points out of a playoff spot approaching the trade deadline and just say, all right, forget it. We're done. Like I just don't anticipate that happening with this group. Now,
do you anticipate them being there?
It's hard to anticipate that right now. I mean, look at this division right now. Carolina's a really good team. Dallas is a really good team. Tampa, Florida. Columbus, even though apparently Patrick Laine has already made John Tortorella mad in about a week.
Of course.
Which is just record.
Shocking.
Record timing.
Shocking.
But
yeah, they look like they're six right now.
Yeah. I mean, there are teams that look pretty significantly better than the Predators.
Chicago right now. Looks better than the Predators.
They
right
do.
Now. Chicago just swept Dallas.
Yeah.
In Dallas.
They do. So, I mean, this is a major uphill climb that they're going to have to start to make. And the problem is you don't have much time to make it.
And Bob asked about the practical way to go about it. It's a great question. I mean, it's so much of this is also who you want to move and what you can get back and how much contracts are impeding you. I mean,
yeah,
lot of conversations to be had on that. But I agree with you on two guys. I would be close to thinking the same thing about Arvidsson because you know, he's got a great deal. But I agree. I mean, I think you have Josi, you have Forsberg. And
to me, that conversation ends right there.
Everything else should be talked about freely.
We got a lot to get to later today on the Preds as well. We'll continue to get your reaction all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, when the world's taking Josh Heupel so long to fill out his staff with the Tennessee Volunteers, we'll discuss that coming up. Also introduce today's Love Week topic that we had a whole lot of fun with yesterday.
Ooh.
We'll have more fun today as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, we've had some time now since Josh Heupel has been hired by the University of Tennessee to be their next head football coach. And a conversation we had very early on was, what's the staff going to look like? Could there be a chance that Kevin Steele hangs around as a part of the staff defensively? We found out that was not going to be the case. And here we sit a couple of weeks later and still not really a staff for Josh Heupel with the Vols at this point, especially like I'm looking around. I mean, what are we going through with defensive coordinators here? You're gonna hire a defensive coordinator at some point here if you're Josh Heupel? And look, I appreciate the process of being thorough and make sure that you want to get the right guy. But like at some point, got to make a hire here pretty soon, right?
Well, is that what's happening, or is he
getting
turned down
a lot?
So Al Washington, linebackers coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes, he was a focus. He was a person of high interest, and apparently just isn't sure he wants to make the move. That's reportedly. Now, I understand some Tennessee fans say, what are you talking about? You don't want to be the D coordinator at Tennessee in the SEC? But If you're a coach looking at Tennessee right now, you're looking at sanctions, you're looking at what is going on there, you're looking at Josh Heupel. And if you're a defensive coach, you're looking at him and saying, I don't know if I want to be paired up with that offense. I think that's a problem. Is this going to come? So now there's what, conflicting reports on the guy from Miami?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Like, do you think that is a big part of this, though? Because the first reaction I had to the delay and things taking so long was the NCAA stuff and the sanctions and everything going on around the program. But do you think that Josh Heupel's offense and the way that he wants to run things and the tempo that's involved and, quite frankly, the example we saw of UCF of that defense not being very good, do you think that that's a part of this just based on his offensive style?
Well, I think it makes sense for it. I don't know, but I think that's logical. I mean, I think that certainly a lot of defensive coaches out there will say, you know, this offense is tough on a defense. It can be tough. It can be tough, you know, when you go best versus best in practice. It's not what you necessarily see from a lot of other teams, and then obviously just the pace and the trotting right back out on that field, whether they score or they just go three and out, no, the clock doesn't move at all. They threw it three times. You know, it's not – defensive coaches don't love that. Now, if it's a winning offense that scores a lot of points, then you can get over that. But, yeah, I would think that would be part of the issue here. Maybe not as big as just the overall questions about the program. But, you know, if you're at Ohio State, for one thing, if you're at Ohio State and you're a position coach who's considered on the rise, a lot of times at Ohio State, coordinators are also plucked away for head coaching job. Now, I don't know if that's really the case for Kerry Combs. I mean, he may be, you know, like, I don't know if he even aspires to be a head coach or if this is going to be a long-term job for him. But, you know, a lot of times it's like, you know what, hang in here and you can – elevate here, and now you're playing for coaching for national championships, and you don't have to go somewhere else. But I just think the Tennessee, all those things have to be factors in why he's having a hard time. I mean, unless people just want to blame like him and his personality, but you know, I don't think that's probably fair.
I don't think that's it. Yeah, and you know, it's the winter time, and National Signing Day is over, so it's not like there's this huge rush, I guess, to fill out your staff. But you do have spring football coming up not too far away from now, and who knows exactly what that's going to look like this year and whether or not you're going to be able to have a spring game and all these other things. I'm sure that they'll find a way to get more work in than they did last spring in terms of spring football because it was essentially zero at that time. But like, you do need to get this thing figured out and try to figure out, you know, what you're going to run, like what your defensive style is going to be. Because to me, that's the biggest question outside of recruiting, which I still think is a gigantic question for Josh Heupel. And obviously your staff has a lot to do with that. But what can this team be defensively? Can it get to a place where it can compete in the SEC? And that looks totally different now than I think it did 5, 6, 7 years ago. Like, with the way college football is, I mean, even look at a program like Alabama. They had a good defense this year, and they didn't have a great defense. Like, I think the days of having this shutdown, hey, we're going to hold you to 10 points a game type of defense in the SEC based on the offenses that we see are probably gone. So nobody's expecting that from Tennessee, but can you get to a place where you can make a couple of stops here and there? Because that was a problem towards the end of last season. They couldn't stop anybody, and they couldn't score. Not a very good combination last year at the end.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, and the offense is winning, and it's probably going to keep winning, but I mean, I thought Alabama's defense was pretty good in that national championship game against a loaded offense and getting after the quarterback, making plays. They got a bunch of dudes, again, from Alabama who are going to go in this draft, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. So it still matters. It still matters a lot. Again, in the NFL, we talk offense. I agree that, like, defense wins championships is not. I mean, that's an outdated saying, but the defense was the story of the last Super Bowl. It was one of the great defensive performances, I think, in Super Bowl history to hold that offense without a touchdown. So it, of course, matters. And, you know, with the Vols, couple people I wonder about. One, I mean, it doesn't sound good, but Henry To'o To'o, like, there's a guy who, if you're Josh Heupel, how much of a difference would it make next year to have him as a junior before he goes to the NFL? And then Kevin Steele, do you know, like, what's he doing? Is he hanging around the building? Is he
out fishing somewhere?
Reportedly, he's out recruiting. He's still recruiting. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you end up, like, hiring him as DC now, like, well, I guess it kind of looks like hiring Josh Heupel as head coach. It's like,
difference does it make at this point? Why not? Come on back.
Yeah, okay, you can be the DC.
At Magnum CJ on Twitter says, the Tennessee defensive coordinator search is about like the Tennessee defense this past year. Not much rush. There you go. It's good.
So, again, I think he's out trying. And this is, again, like, how far down the list, if that's what's going on, that it's just guys saying, yeah, thanks, Josh, but no thanks. How far down the list do you go before you're like, dude, you have Kevin Steele?
Shouldn't you already kind of be at that point? Like, Kevin Steele, I think, is a pretty good defensive coordinator hire anyway. Like, if that was your first choice, I'd be like, okay, yeah, cool, Kevin Steele. If you're having this much trouble, shouldn't that be your recourse of action already anyway? Just, Kevin, why don't you come in and coach? Why don't you be the defensive coordinator?
I mean, again, we'll go back to what David Ubbin said on the show, I think, a couple weeks ago about after what happened at Auburn with Steele and Gus, and do you want that guy looking over? But whatever, you just got the job. Yeah, you just got the job. Like, you think people are going to be clamoring for Kevin Steele to, like, take over as head coach? It's not happening. So utilize a good coach who has been a DC at a high level and who can recruit and who is a Tennessee guy. Again, it comes down to, like, their conversations. What have those been like? Is Steele, like, unhappy just because he actually thought he might have a shot here? I don't know, but get over it. Both sides, get over it. There you go. There's your answer. He's in the building.
So we'll see if Josh Heupel can get that part figured out here sometime in the foreseeable future. Going to need a staff in place at the University of Tennessee. Joe, it's Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've had a lot of fun so far this week. The pickup lines yesterday, which you were just outstanding at as the show went along, it was beautiful to watch.
Well, ScaryMommy.com, by the way, is a very popular website for moms. And it's a lot of, like, mom advice and stuff. And apparently they also throw in pickup lines. So I don't know. Hey, why not?
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
We had our worst first dates on Monday. Today's question for Love Week is this. What annoys you the most about your significant other? I think we could see some very interesting responses. Now, you got to be careful as well because you don't want to get in trouble with your significant other. But what's the most annoying thing about your significant other? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you'll have a chance to win a $1,000 gift card for Genesis Diamonds.
I look forward to both of you participating today. I look forward to hearing your answers and sitting here quietly and listening.
I've got one.
Okay.
There's some wisdom here with Rex Road. He's been married longer than you and I have. And he's sitting this one out. Maybe that's the secret.
I'm good. I'm okay. This is like the job interview, like Michael Scott. I care too much. I work too hard. Me, it's like, she loves me too much.
Yes.
I think that's what's annoying.
I think that's what's so annoying is her undying love for me on
devotion,
a daily basis.
The devotion and wonderfulness is overwhelming.
So the most annoying part about your significant other, let us know on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to ours a little bit later here in the show. When we come back, it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We're handing out grades for the Tennessee Titans. Up next, the linebackers for the Titans this year. This one could be very, very interesting. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.